McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back. Now, An Garda Síochána came into the conversation a lot, quite a lot during the talk about free speech. So I think it's only fitting that we talk about An Garda Síochána. And there was an article in the Irish Independent which has prompted our next topic. The president of the GRA, or the Garda Representative Association, Mark O'Mara, warned of a mass exodus from the force this year as it emerged that 152 members quit last year. This is not good because we need more guards and instead we're actually getting less. He's called for more resources to be given to frontline members of the force to limit assaults. But it's clear to me why they're being assaulted. It's not just down to resource, it's down to the fact that they haven't got the power that they used to have. And some people would suggest they're afraid to do anything. So, and that's not their fault, by the way. I'm not blaming them for that. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Do you think the guards are too restricted in using force? Or maybe you think it's right that they can't stop antisocial behaviour and vandalism carried out by kids because they know that they'll get into trouble for it. I'll give you a quick example. I was driving through town one day there by the past Customs House Quay as you turn onto Gardiner Street. And these three lads on a motorbike, three of them on one motorbike, clearly up to no good, no helmets on, pulling wheelies while the three of them were on the bike. In the middle of a busy road with traffic all around, there was a Garda car right beside them. They did nothing about it. Now, they were clearly uninsured. They were clearly too young to be driving a motorbike. They were probably only about 14 or 15 years of age. But yet the guards did absolutely nothing. Now, I'm not having a pop at the guards or the two guards that were in the car. Because if the guards went after them and they crashed the bike, all of a sudden, the guards would be the worst in the world. It would be, oh, poor innocent kids. Jesus, they're only in school. The guards, look what they did. They forced them and they crashed their bike. And yada, yada, yada. Or even if there's scuts up to no good hanging around a street corner. There was a time when the guards would go over and they'd search them. You know what I mean? And they'd say, you know, you're up to no good here, lads. What are you up to? You know what I mean? Or they'd kick them, send them home or whatever it was. They'd say, look, get home to your house. You know, it's too late at night. But they don't do that anymore. Because when the guards approach a situation now, particularly when it comes to young people, and it is young people that we need to approach constantly all the time, because they're the ones who become the hoods in later life. So we need to tackle the crime early before they turn into those hoods and teach them a lesson that, you know, you don't commit crimes. But when they do approach these groups of people on a regular basis, or even adults, it's always, we're bleeding video on everything you're doing. Look at yous. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, the guards sometimes need to be monitored. There have been cases where I've seen guards abusing their power. And that's without a shadow of a doubt. But in every form walk of life, there's always going to be bad apples, isn't there? So I'm not saying they don't have to be monitored to some degree. And I know they're bringing in the body cams and all that kind of stuff, which I know some guards didn't agree with the body cams because they feel it kind of monitors them too much. It's like in your workplace. Would you like to have cameras on you all the time and audio on you all the time? So everything you say, your boss can hear you. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Now, that people will argue, well, if you're doing nothing wrong, well, you've nothing to worry about. But it's difficult when you're a guard and you're dealing with young people. Anyway, I'm kind of meandering now. You understand the point I'm making. The old days of Lugs Brannigan, he would just go over and box the head off them and send them home. And they wouldn't commit a crime again, I tell you. The other thing nowadays is social media. They're afraid to do anything for, as I said, a risk of being recorded to be shared online. So this leaves the guards with very little power when it comes to using force. Now, if there's any members of a Garda Síochána who want to call in, I know you're not supposed to. You can change your name if you want to. And let us know how you feel. Anyway, get in touch, by the way, the number, if you want to WhatsApp us, if you want to come on the air, is 087-188-0008. Just WhatsApp, let me on, and we'll let you on. 087-188-0008. And don't forget, by the way, you can leave a comment if you want on X. Get in touch there. It's at Classic Hits Radio. That's at Classic Hits Radio. Now, let me go to Jimmy. Jimmy, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. Oh, jeez, great topic. The only power they need, Niall, is manpower, which is totally unresourced. Two, courts need to be reformed completely, because the Gardaí, the reason why they don't pull people on the bikes is because they're instructed not to. because they could be sued if the child came off the bike or whatever. What?
And there's probably no point because nothing happens to them anyway.
Yeah, because they're walking out of the courts. But here's the thing as well. What they could do is find out where they live and keep taking them off them. And make deterrent stops crime. Deterrent does.
Yeah, well, that's why you have to nip crime in the bud at 12 and 13 years of age to stop it getting to 16 and 17 years of age.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Right, there should be body cams, right? All around America as well. So both sides can't dispute what happened. So the guards like GSOC can't side with the Gardaí, which they generally do if they can't prove anything. If the guard says, well, I never done that. And your man says, well, you did, you hit me, blah, 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 or whatever, well, you planted something there, blah, blah, blah. Body cams, yeah.
Here's the thing, Jimmy. I remember when I was a kid, right? You know, we'd be hanging around a street corner and Smiley, who was in Coolock Garda Station, or there was another fella called, yeah, we used to call him the Night Rider. And they'd come over and they'd be going, what are you doing, lads? And we'd go, nothing. And he'd go home. You know, and we'd be like, you'd be shitting yourself. We were actually afraid of the guards. But nowadays, kids have no, when I say kids, young teens, have no fear of them.
But you know why loads of them are leaving, though? I know a couple of guys personally. Why loads of them are leaving is, like, one thing you brought up there was they seen these three little fellas when they turned the corner after the MAGA, blah, 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 anti-social, blah, blah. The reason why they don't do it is because not only with them walking out of the courts, but all the hassle they have to go through, and if they don't fill in all the reports, statements, everything else, chase up everything, and they have to go to court and everything, they have to do that on their own time. After that, right? Plus, here's a very important point for you. They're not even trained, right? Did you see the physical they have to do? I seen it, right? And they swing back on it because most of them couldn't pass it.
And yeah, what they call a click test or something, isn't it? Yeah.
Jumping over little things and all, like 2 feet in the air and running around the course twice. The course takes about 5 minutes, 7 minutes or something. So you run around it twice, and if you don't do it, you don't pass.
The reason they don't want to fail any of them is we need every guard we can get. We need 18,000 guards in Ireland. They estimate we need 18,000. We're nowhere close to that. Nowhere close to it. The numbers are going down.
I'd say a lot of guys go into that job for the authority and all that, you know, so they can push their weight around it.
I think the power goes to some of their heads, but I don't believe guards go into the job for authority. They go in for job security. They go in because they think it's an exciting life. You know, it's an interesting job. It's different every single day, I imagine. You know, so I think most guards go into the job for the right reason. Some go in for the wrong reason, I'm sure.
Yeah, quite a lot. I don't know the statistics on it, but the reason why a lot of them are now sick and assaults and all other things, and which is a couple of hundred of them or more, they won't give us the real statistics. So
how do we get more guards? You're saying the answer is more guards.
How do you get more guards?
Yeah,
hell. Well, I've seen the promotional videos they were doing in the mosques, and I actually seen it with my own eyes. And you know what they were saying? They were saying, you can wear your turban, we'll give you a few hours off every Friday. You know what? It was comical. It was actually comical, right?
But the thing about it is, Jimmy, they're desperate. They have nobody joining. The problem is they're not getting enough people wanting to join the guards. So
all around Europe, that's what they're bringing out. Because in case of any freedom revolt, they'll have all these young men, they'll promise them houses and give them financial things, and they'll get them, put uniforms on them and say, listen, we need...
Okay, but let's not get into another topic here, right?
No, I tell you what, there's about 6,000 army, right? And about 10,000 cops, right? That wouldn't even handle a big, massive thing that happened in Dublin, like with 40 or 50,000 people. Do you get me?
So what, use the army?
But most of the army wouldn't do what they'd probably be asked to do.
But they wouldn't be trained to do it. The army would have to be retrained. And you joined the army, you didn't join the guards. It's a difference.
Well, the army's another story.
It's not even an army. It's called the Defence Forces.
It's not money anymore. That's probably why they resource back a bit as well. You know what I mean? They're bleeding useless.
Are we paying them enough money? Because, you know, a trainee guard, or should I say a guard in the first year, what's he on, 29,000 or something?
30 grand, yeah.
Yeah.
And
would you put your life on the line every day for 30 grand?
Yeah, and whatever way get assigned, you have to find your own accommodation.
Yeah.
And loads of other things as well.
I wouldn't put my life on the line for 30 grand.
The best they should be given is a taser. Because some of the bleeding assholes out there, they'll just keep antagonising the cops. Because they know they get away with it, not only through the courts, not only through under-resourced guards, but the guards, they know the guards inside out like fucking kids these days. They know their parents inside out. Again, the whole society's breaking down. Breaking down, I tell you. It's just kids have no respect anymore. They don't know what they haven't got even any. They're on computers every day, which is called their phones, half of the time. They don't even have the right properly anymore. I have a 26-year-old and a 28-year-old. And the umphalo couldn't change a light bulb.
But, I know. That's a whole other show. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he called an electrician if there was no one else around.
Yeah.
I was trying to push it in, but it wouldn't stay in.
Which way do you twist it?
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, and you were saying, do you want to switch off the switch first? Yeah, okay. Okay, hold on a second there, Jimmy. Let me go to Amanda as well. Amanda, hi, how are you?
How are you, Mike? I'm fine.
Good.
How are you?
Amanda, are the guards tough enough, or do you think they're afraid to be tough because of the ramifications that they might get sued, particularly when it comes to young people? Are they tough enough?
Oh, first, Mike, I just think, you know, people are not joining the guards because the guards themselves don't feel safe out there. Okay, it's not about being tough enough. They're just not safe out there.
So they've no backup, is what you're saying?
There's no backup. They don't feel safe. So I think the body cam is brilliant. Okay, that is just one step up. But I think the guys should be armed with tasers and pepper spray. Because now the level of criminality has gone so high.
It has.
You know,
yeah.
That these criminals, they have real weapons. Mm-hmm. So imagine when a guard is confronted with a criminal, you know, and the guards end up in the hospital and the criminal is nowhere to be found because apparently the criminal has weapons, you know, and the guard has nothing, just pen and paper. You know, I would not want my son to be in that kind of a job. My son or my daughter, none of my kids to be in that, because that is literally saying, just go out there and, you know, go kill yourself or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna be killed because you're walking out into a dangerous world with nothing to protect you. Which, by the way, Amanda, would you arm the guards with guns?
With guns, I don't know, because when you look at what's going on in America, you know, with guns, I would not say. I think they should start them first with tasers.
Tasers,
you know, and pepper spray. Mm. That would be, you know, let's start with that and see how they go about it.
The special response units do have pepper sprays and batons and all sorts of things.
You know, like if there's something going on and you're there, you're faced with this guy with a gun or a machete or something.
Yeah.
Will you be waiting for the special unit to come? Every second counts.
Yeah, I mean, there was a case, and I'll say this to Jimmy as well, in Donegal there, going back a few years ago, where some fella went mad with an automatic rifle in the middle of the town. I don't remember the story. And he started firing shots and people were ducking all over the place. So the first two guards, local guards, arrived. Sure, all they had was a hand with a bit of skin on it. This fella's walking around with a semi-automatic rifle. Huh?
It's like El Paso up there. It's actually lawless up there. They smoke in the pubs. They do anything. They do actually anything, right? And the guards know, but they only go in if it's something real serious, because... it's run by bandits and all, and they're in LA, the real IRA.
Oh, well, I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time, and I don't know what you're talking about. But generally speaking, when a guard arrives at, say, a bank robbery or something like that, the first responders to that bank robbery or to that incident is usually the local guard who's the nearest to it, and they arrive and they have no weapons.
Just imagine that. Like, no weapons. So what do you expect them to do?
Yeah, I mean,
what are they going
some
to
fella do? Runs out of a bank with a mask on him and a gun, and you've got a tin of pepper spray in your hand. That's not much use, is it? I do understand what you're saying about. I know I don't really want to be like America and have every guard walking around with a gun on his side. I don't know.
I really don't think
that is a false stop. I just think a proper training with the tasers and with the pepper spray would do.
Yeah.
Okay, because if all they need to do is to be able to disarm the criminal or whoever that person is, you know, and just get them, if that person in a safe place. So having a kind of a gun or something is not really ideal, but other form of weapon can do the same job.
Okay, but Amanda, going back to what I said at the start of the show, so I see these three lads on a motorbike, they're probably about 13, 14 years of age, and the guard of car just completely ignore them. No helmets on them, wheelies in the middle of a main road in the middle of town. And the reason the guards ignore them is because if the guards do anything at all and they fall off that bike, they'll be sued. So how do you deal with those situations? Because realistically, crime starts at 12 and 13 years of age. And that's when you want to stop it. So how do you deal with that when guards are terrified to be dealing with children?
Well, first, now you don't blame the guards, because the amount of paperwork they have to go through, you know, to put that that case or whatever it is, you know, and then they will just go to the court and they'll be cured. If nothing happens, it's just a waste of time. But I think, you know, when it comes to kids like that, you have to, just like what your other speaker was saying, you have to trace, take it back to the parents. Who is your parent? Most, of course, you know, kids like that, the parents might be on, you know, social welfare or something like that. Some of them, I'm not saying all, some of them
probably
might
don't
be
care.
Social welfare or something like that, you know. So that's whatever fine that they are going to give to them should be given to the parents and taking off whatever payment they are.
Okay, so Jimmy, that's not a bad idea. Should we be, well, Jimmy, should we be fining the parents of kids who are committing antisocial acts? Should we be fining them?
Absolutely, that's another avenue. Yeah, yeah, why not? Because like, if it comes out of their pocket, they're going to be saying, you're not going out again, Johnny, are you? You know, and make sure you don't do it again. My car was smashed up now. Listen to this. My car was smashed up last year. I rang them. They came the next day. They asked me the details and all. I said, listen, he said, do you want to go forward with this? And I said, no, I just want the number from me. So it's done £3,000 worth of damage to my car. Just out of mischief. So I found out who it was and all. And I told him, I'll get him. And the guy says, I advise you not to know. And I said, well, you know what? You ain't going to get him. There's no way you're going to get him. I never heard that another. And I will take my own justice about that. If they come on my property and damage my property with the sandwich, you know what? Like that.
Well,
with
the greatest respect, Jimmy, you know, and I tell you my personal advice to you. Is it worth it?
Yeah, don't. Yeah, but
yeah, don't. Yeah. Is it was it worth going after them? Because all that happens is you go after them and then they come back and do something else to you. Yeah.
Well, they won't be asking what happened to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not nice. No, it isn't nice. Stay there, Amanda and Jimmy. I've got to go to Sean after the break, but I've got to take a very short break. The number is 087-188-0008. Do the guards have enough power? Frontline members of the force, are they limited? Should they have more power, more resources? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
Hi, Leon Noel. How are you?
Good. You've heard Amanda and Jimmy. I'm hearing kind of similar stuff. Too much paperwork involved in dealing with people. Then they walk out of the courts and they kind of stick their finger up to the guard because nothing happens to them. And I suppose they're frustrated.
You see, here's the thing, Noel. You know, with every response, there is a response, you know. Look, it's the courts that are the problems here. It's not the guards' fault. It's the courts. But in relation to arming up the guardie, if you arm up the guardie and give them, as what that lady said, you know, giving them taser guns and this, that, the other. So anybody that knows, then, at that fact, well, they're all going to know because it's going to have to be, you know, it's going to have to be made public that they're carrying tasers and this, that, the other. So they'll arm up, you know. So that's what I'm saying. With a response, is going to be a response. As it is now, it's safe enough now. You know, I think, you know, the Gardaí, you know, it'd be stupid to do that to them. They have the armed response unit. They have this unit. They have that unit. They don't need, the frontline guardie don't need anything. They don't. You know, and I know what you said about a bank and this, that, the other. They just have to hold
back. See, Amanda, I get what Amanda's saying. We don't want to turn out like America, where you see people being shot all the time. And innocent
definitely
people
not.
And but here's the thing. Yeah. America is different because in Northern Ireland, the police carry guns. And I've been Belfast many times. And people don't get shot by accident in Northern Ireland by the police,
not
generally speaking.
Not at all.
So, and there is a level of respect. When you see a guard or a police officer, as the PSNI as they're calling the North, standing there, and he's tooled up and he has his body cam and he has his baton and he has a gun on his side, there's a bit more respect, isn't there?
Well, you see, here's the thing, of course. But the fact of the matter is, Noel, I don't know if you've seen that video there. It wasn't about 5 weeks ago. They were in one of the asylum-seeking places, and one of the guards...
Oh, I saw that video. I saw it. Oh, the guy, he got his head boxed in.
And then he attacks him.
Yeah.
You know, now, here's the fact of the matter. You know, they should have just drawn the buttons. I don't know why they didn't, because you can see clearly that they didn't.
Yeah, this guy, he bet that... just for the other two people who haven't seen that video, I don't know whether they have seen it. Yeah, he was in a direct provision centre or an IPAS centre, the two guards.
Yeah.
And the guy attacked him, and he bet the shite out of the two of them.
Absolutely.
The two guards.
Yeah.
So I believe they were hospitalised, actually, the two of them.
Yeah. Well, they did. But the fact that there is attacks on the rise because there's people coming to this country that don't respect the Gardaí. You see, here's the thing, Doyle. The Irish people know.
There's Irish people that don't respect them as well, by the way. Can I just point out?
Well, no, there is. Yeah, but there's only a small minority, Noel, because here's the fact of the matter. You know quite well, Noel, and you know, anybody with a decent head on their shoulders knows quite well. You give a guard a box or you attack a guard. Jesus Christ, you got to get. See the courts? They're going to make a show you. They're going to make a ticket. And oh, I'll tell you why.
Well, there already is. I mean, Helen McEntee brought in legislation during the year that if you assault a member of an Garda Síochána, there's a minimum sentence. Yeah. And rightly so, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. And it's the ambulance and the Gardaí, or sorry, the ambulance and the fire brigade and anybody else in the emergency personnel. And again, they're trying to, you know, a lot of people give out about the Gardaí, but who's the first people to ring when the car's getting broken up or the car's getting robbed or the house is getting robbed? Or, you know, here's the thing. You know, this is what I'm talking about now. You see, they give out about the Gardaí, they give out about this, about that, but they're the first people they ring when there's trouble. But the fact of the matter is, I think it should be left alone, for the reason being is, if you tool them up, everybody else is going
to
tool
them. So what's the answer? Because as I said to Amanda, when I saw those three young fellas on the motorbike, 14 years of age...
Tougher sentence.
But the guards won't even chase the three young fellas on the motorbike because they're afraid.
No, they can't. That's only one. What you're saying there about a motorbike. That copper can catch up with him again, and bring him down to the juvenile liaison officer.
I have a question for this guy, Nye.
Go ahead, Amanda. Yeah.
I just want to find out. I missed your name earlier on.
His name is Sean.
Sean, hi Sean. I know you said the problem is the courts. I just want to know, what do you want the courts to do? Is the court going to send those children to prison or what? Or find them? What is the court going to do with the children?
Will it be a fine, Amanda?
Well, the children, you see, there's Overstown, Amanda. I don't know if you ever heard of it. That's for young juvenile offenders, and if they're getting out of hand. They should be brought in. And if they commit a crime worthy of that, they should be locked up. And if not, It depends on what the crime it is, Amanda. I don't know. You know,
well, I personally think, Sean and Amanda, when it comes to young people, say those three gurriers on the bike, right? Okay, when it comes to young people, jail is not the answer at 14 years of age, or Overstown, or St. Pat's, as it used to be called years ago, right?
It depends on the crime, yeah.
Now, what I believe, unless it's a very serious crime, what I believe should happen to those three is they should be given community service. So they should be made to go down to their local library, clean the shelves, paint the walls, you know what I mean, at the weekends when they're not in school. They should be made to, they're probably not in school anyway, but they should be made to work in their community for a minimum amount of hours.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And if they don't cop onto that, then it's one day in jail.
We should implement something like they did in New York many years ago, which was three strikes and you're out. So, you know, and if you do it a third time, then you're going to Overstown or you're going somewhere else.
And I certainly don't want any, you know, look, you know, they shouldn't be on the bike. I get that. You know, the fact of the matter is, I can understand why the Gardaí aren't chasing them, because they don't want to injure them or injure anybody else. You know, and that's happened in before, and we've seen people falling off bikes and holding them and even dying.
Sorry, Amanda, to your own question, Amanda, your own question, what do you think should happen?
I just think you have to find the parents, because if you find the parents...
How is that going to work, Amanda?
Will you find them?
I think it's going to work. Okay, somebody that is having 250 euro a week, and you find the person, okay, let me say 80 euro, that is a lot of money. Next time, the person will know where they will find out where their kids are. All they have to do is say, Johnny, don't go there. It's 8 o'clock, stay back home. They will want to know where their kids are, because they know that anything that happens is going to go to their pocket.
I don't inherently disagree with what Amanda says, and this has been suggested in the past, Sean, that when you have young offenders, that the parents should be fine. Under the Public Order Act, the parents should be fine.
Let's get this straight here, guys, right? My kids never drove, never mind anything else. My kids' alcoholics, I always sorted out. I wouldn't have it, you know, and I would never have it. That was the way my mother and father was. We never messed, because we knew fucking quite well. The fact of the matter is, we weren't afraid of the law. We were afraid of a man and dads back then. And I'm not saying afraid of them, that, you know, we were getting bet. I don't mean it like that. But we wouldn't act upon it.
No, I know. I had a healthy fear of my father. I know. And my mother, by the way.
That's it, Noel.
Yeah, sorry. Well, hang on. Sorry, Jimmy. Before I go to Jude, you want to say something there, Jimmy? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a couple of quick points. The way you deal with the whole situation is, if they're under 18, they're living at home, make it law that the parents are responsible for them, right?
Well, and they are. They are. They are responsible.
Yeah, but it's not first, right? It's not first, right? But here's another thing. When they turn 18, wherever, if you're not, it should be mandatory inscription, right? Put them in the Malaysian army or whatever.
Conscription.
Take them off the, yeah. It's happened in loads of European countries, Germany, Sweden, Norway.
Well, Jimmy, here's my question to you. If they're giving the fingers to the law, they're giving the fingers to the man, as far as I'm concerned, Jimmy. You know,
exactly. So how are you going to get them to do, how are you going to get them to do community service?
But I didn't mention that, Jimmy. Noel said it, not me.
I said it. Well, if they don't turn up for the community service, Jimmy, well, then there has to be a fine for the parent, and the parent will make sure they turn up.
As I said before, if they're not in fear of the parents, that's certainly not fucking fear of the Gardaí or anybody else.
Just one point. You made a very that chapter. You made a very valid point, right? It's the court system that's the root of the problem, right? You got guys going in there, 14, 16, 18, with 20, 30, 40, 60 convictions, right? All adding up to a lot of misery for a lot of people, right? And what's happening is, right, they're walking back out, they know the law, and they know how to screw things, and they know how to play things. And what's happening is, yeah, they are sticking their finger up at the guards. And the reason why the guards are not doing more is they've so much work, they're seeing traffic offences, they drive by them, because a guy told me this, we drive by it because we're nearly finished the shift, and we're up to our eyes in anyway, so we just turn the blind eye to that now. That's the kind of reason why they don't just get involved in every little thing. But and the most important thing is the courts have to be determined there. The courts have to find the parents if they're under 18, and after 18, come heavy on them, put them into subscription. But nothing's done here. There isn't even enough prison space. You know what I mean? But they want to lock you for free speech, and they're letting people out. Recently with Class A porn on their computers, 60 images or something, and that's okay.
I think we all agree, Jimmy. People who have 4,000 or 5,000 images, child porn images on their PC shouldn't be allowed out of a courtroom. They should be brought straight to jail.
I always said this, Niall. Children learn what they live. And if the children are brought up with respect and loyalty and if they respect their elders, that's what they will do and that's what they're brought up to do. But if they're brought up with there's no manners, there's no respect, and here, especially if they're in a broken home, that's the end of that. Everything's gone out the window.
Sorry, Amanda, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
I just want to answer a question then. Maybe you can be able to help me with this. I keep thinking, you said something about the guy that fought the guy, that was on social. Have you seen the guards of other Europe countries, I would say, like Spain, Portugal? Like, have you seen their guards? And I'm just thinking, with the guard, like the Irish guard, the guards that we have, there's a huge difference.
I know what you're trying to say, Amanda. You're trying to say it as nice as possibly. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand.
So, there's a huge difference. I used to live in Spain, okay? I would not stand beside a policeman, a policia, but just looking at him alone, you'll be scared.
Yeah, because he has an automatic weapon on his side.
Exactly. So I think the guards, the Irish, with the guards need more. We just, they need more physical and,
Are you telling me, Amanda, you don't trust the guards with a gun? With the average rank and file guard on the street, you don't trust them all with a gun? And I don't disagree with you. They would have to be well-trained, and not only well-trained physically, but psychologically, they would have to be assessed.
Everything.
You don't just hand a gun to somebody. I certainly don't disagree with you on that one. Stay there for a second. Let me bring Jude in on that. Jude, hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm interested. I'm listening to the show there.
Jude, what's the answer when the guards don't seem to have enough power?
You're very broken up there.
Well, it's probably not me because I'm in the radio section, so it's probably yourself. Okay, all right, Jude. Okay. But Jude, what's the answer when the guards don't have enough power? How do we give them more power to deal with crime?
Give them tasers.
Give them tasers.
Yeah.
Okay.
But any kids that are outlying, teenage or whatever, like the previous lady said, find the parents.
Mm.
And then they'll discipline the children because you're hitting them in the wallet. It's the same with motorist, lenient fines. Find them 500.
Will they? Will you? Will you give yourself a bleeding? Jude, go out there and have a chat with yourself. Did you not hear what I said? If they're giving the parents the fingers, they're giving the cops the fingers. Did you think they give a fuck? Do you? You've got to be joking me. They don't care.
I think the point that he's making, and that also Amanda is making, is... Oh, sorry. Hold on. Hang on. Sorry, I just lowered that down there. I do apologise. I think the point that Jude is making and that Amanda is making, Sean, is that, yeah, you are right. If they don't respect the parents, they're hardly going to respect the cops, right? But if the parents are getting an €85 fine and they're only on about 300 or 400 quid a week, they'll quickly want to know where little Johnny is all of a sudden, won't they? Maybe it might snap them out of it.
I thought we were going to talk facts here tonight, guys, because here's the thing, that's never going to happen. We're talking about this the last 10 years and it didn't happen then. So why do you think it's going to happen now?
Jude, is there any other solutions in relation to Garda resources? Would you trust them with a gun? All of them, not just the special response unit.
To me here again, Jude.
Huh?
Do you want to come back to me again, Jude?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you, Jude. Yeah, would you trust him?
Oh, no, I thought you were asking your man because he's fully opinionated of himself anyways.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, his point of view or nobody's point of view. The Garda have been run down into the ground anyways.
Right.
25% of them are psychologically going out looking at all that crime. They don't even have counsellors to go back to or... Do you know what I mean? I talked to a few police people and they're traumatised on the motorway accidents and there's no real... A lot of the police are leaving. I don't blame them.
They are.
But the guy from Northern Ireland running them anyways hamstrung them.
Well, they don't like him. That's clear.
Well, yeah, but he's hamstrung.
98.8% of them have no faith in him.
They don't
listen to me.
And I have no understanding why he's still there at this point. No understanding.
But he's there for a reason. You know who he is and you know the man that was there before him. What's the name of the minister for the police before that? He sued the Irish people for $2.5 million for an unfair dismissal.
I can't remember exactly who you're talking about. Last year, you were talking about people leaving. The head of the GRA, Mark Romara, said that 152 members quit last year at a time when we actually need more guards. They're actually leaving.
They want to run the police force down so they can have a European police force in. G4S and store security and all that, private security.
So they're bringing down gangsters from the north there to evict people from houses and all. We've seen it all, you know. It's all coming down from the north, and that's, you know, the Gardaí don't want Drew Harris or anybody else down from the north, you know. But that's what's happening here, you know. When they want him gone, they made it clear that they want him gone.
Okay, but hang on, Sean, just let me come back to what Jude said. Jude, to a lot of people, that sounds like some sort of conspiracy, obviously. I'm not suggesting it is, by the way.
Who was there before that? Shatter.
That's your opinion. Alan Shatter, yeah.
Yeah, but who was he in London before he moved to Ireland?
I don't know. He was a barrister, wasn't he?
Who was Catherine Sapone before she parachuted in here with no...
She's back again because she's running for the Shannon.
Oh, my God.
She's running for the Shannon.
Oh, my God almighty. Find out her background and put...
I'm not going to find... She's running for the Shannon anyway. Anyway, Jude, getting back to your theory that they're trying to run the guards down, the numbers down, so they can bring in a European police force. I don't know... Where did you read that or how did you come up with that theory?
No, I didn't come up with that theory. I talked to people. I talked to people in Source Security and G4S and all that. Mm. Same in America. They're all private. The reason you have such big trouble in America, there's four or five private police forces in one town, and they're not trained or nothing. They're private police. In the United States, you'd be lucky if you had 20% of rural police. The rest are all private.
No, I know there is private police. And the same with the prisons are private companies running the prisons as well, the penitentiaries. Hold on, I have to go to Martin very quickly. Actually, Martin, I'm going to have to go to a break before I go to you, so please just hang on there for a second for me. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let's say quickly. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well this evening, Niall. Despite the fog and the cold, I'm well.
Oh, man, it is cold, all right, and I can't deny the saga there, yeah. So, Martin, just in relation to Garda Síochána, I mean, we're losing members instead of gaining them. And, you know, there is the suggestion today in the Irish Independent by the Garda Representative Association that they don't have enough resources, you know, and resources also, and they're limited in dealing with the general public because we all know why they're limited.
Yeah, okay. If I could just say, first off, in a previous incarnation, let's say, in a business I had. I had dealings with the guard. I used to deal with the barrack master and that, you know, and myself and my brother, we sold equipment to him. So I'm familiar with them from that side. I'm also familiar with them in my current employment because being in the security industry, I have to occasionally meet with guards and what have you. Now, I will say this. I think we have some of the best law enforcement personnel in the world, in this country. Some of the best. It takes a lot to go out, say goodnight to your family, and know that you're going out unarmed. You don't really have a lot of backup from the state. You don't have the equipment. You don't have the training. There's not enough finance. There's not enough staff. I accept all of that. Okay, I have very high regard for so many guards. But also, on the flip side of that, I'm a 65-year-old man. And I'm telling you now, I could outrun many of the guards that I meet, many of the guards that I see on the street. I see guards that look like they should be, and I'm really not trying to be defamatory here towards them, but guards that should be on a key ring. They're so small. I have no problem if you want to take people in and put them into certain specialist situations. If you want to take somebody that's small and that wouldn't be powerful enough really to be able to impress themselves on a scene, put them into something like, you know, child liaison or forensics or whatever. But when it comes to frontline policing, I hear so many people talking total nonsense. I've heard people talk about, oh, give them tasers. I've had tasers used on me numerous times when I was trying to sell them to the guards. When we were first invented going back over 25 years ago. And when we were trying to bring them in here, we were being told, oh, no, that's too American. We'd never do that. I was demonstrating them. I've had them used on me. And I can tell you, a taser is not a panacea. If it's properly used, properly deployed, it can certainly be effective, but it's only effective for a very short period of time. I've also heard people, if there is an unfortunate incident where somebody ends up being shot, I hear this nonsense. Oh, why didn't they just shoot them in the leg? Have you ever used a gun? No, you haven't. Mm. You've never even used a gun recreationally. Never mind using a gun in a stress situation where it's your life, the life of a colleague, or the life of someone else who can potentially take another person's life. And in those circumstances, your training tells you, you go for the centre mass. You don't mess around with going for legs and all that. The nonsense people play Monday morning quarterback and they sit and they think they know everything. Now, I'm not defending all guards and I'm not taking away from all guards. I'm saying it's like everything in society. You're going to get a mix of people. And I meet that mix of people, you know, all the way through my working life. But there is no doubt about it. The backup is not there. The training is not there. The resources are not there. The way the whole thing is structured, it's basically become a civil service job. And I wouldn't blame any guard who says, I could go to Australia or New Zealand and earn twice.
So the Australian police were recruiting here in a hotel only about 2 months ago.
That's what I'm saying.
But by the way, I do apologise. We have a slight technical problem where we have a bit of a clicking on the line, but it would be grand. We'll sort it out during the news. I take my apologies for that. Sorry, Sean, what you were trying to say to Martin there?
I was just saying to Martin there, look, you know, and it's all well and said what he said. We're looking for a solution here, Martin. What's your solution?
My solution? Well, I would start with training. I would start with breaking the guards into separate sections. We need a separate transport police in this country. That's where I'd start, with a proper transport police section in which the commissioner, as is at the moment, has nothing to do with them, no control over them, can't come along and say, well, we're taking you off the transport today and putting you into some other part. We should have a separate transport police in this country. That's where I'd start. I'd start with training, paying them properly, giving them the backup that they need. When it comes to guns, I personally, you know, now I use firearms. I don't have a problem with it. If the people are properly trained, I would rather hope we could have a society where the guards are not armed. But I'm a realist. I know that the day is going to come where every member of on Garda Síochána, if it remains on Garda Síochána, if it's not changed to something else, every member will be armed. That's a reality. And anyone that thinks it's not going to happen is fooling themselves. That is a reality. It will happen.
You know what I'm going
to... Yeah, sorry, Sean. Go on, you want to say something?
Well, I thought we were going to win this one. And I must have been thinking here while I was listening to Martin and listening to all of you there. I think what needs to happen there, Martin, is, you know, we're talking about on the top level here of the Gardaí need to be doing this, that, whatever. But I think we should start at the lower level, which is where the problem is with the teenagers. More resources have to be put into them, and more social workers have to be put in place and prevent what happened, as far as I'm concerned here. And, you know, that's where the problem is, because if prevention is better than cure at the end of the day, guys. So if there is proper resources, you know, there's no resources for nobody anymore, you know. You can see this, you know.
Yeah,
there's not
sure.
even enough teachers. There's not enough SNAs. There's not enough, you know, health workers. There's not enough anything. So if we start from the top and then bring it all the way from the top, maybe, just maybe, we'll make a difference.
Yeah, but you're only looking at one piece on the chessboard. When you're talking about starting with the teenagers, pardon me, you can start with teenagers and tell them you have to do X, Y, and Z. Now, I heard the idea, and in principle, I've no objection to the idea of saying, well, the parents have to be responsible. But I can tell you, I know of parents that are actually afraid of their children. Now, it may be down to bad parenting because they got it wrong from the start. I'm not denying that. But I do know of one family in particular where every child in that family turned out to be perfect. Really, you couldn't ask for better children, except for one, who was a vicious animal. He was brought up exactly the same as the rest of his siblings. It's just there was something wrong in this guy. And his parents and his siblings were always afraid of him. The guy's in prison now for the moment, but he'll be out in a few months. So there's no one size fits all. I'm not saying I have all the solutions, but what I would do, I'd pay the guards properly. I would pay them. I'd pay every guard far more than I'd pay any politician who gets to sit on their arse in the doll and fall asleep and do nothing. I'd pay every guard more than I'd pay any politician, because politicians don't go out and put their lives on the line. The guards do. Along with along with our fire services,
and said there that the vision, or it was yourself, Martin, that the vision that road traffic accidents there and they're fucked over, you know, and I can only imagine that, you know, I can only imagine what they're going through, and the people every day.
What I'm saying is, Sean, look at what a politician walks away with when they do, you know, when they do retire after a couple of years. Look at what the rest of us walk away with. Now, I have the height of regard for our guard force. When I think of the number of members who gave their lives, and not always in circumstances where there was someone with a gun involved, there were guards who have lost their lives trying to save people from burning buildings and drowning in rivers. All kinds of things have happened where they're showing humanity, and what they get for it, you know, generally from society, they don't get a lot of support. There were guards I cannot stand because I don't like their attitude. If it were down to me, they would never have become a guard. I wouldn't have let them in.
And there's no doubt there are some guards who just should not be in the job. And some of them, their power goes to their heads. Absolutely, I wouldn't deny that. I've seen some guards abusing their power. Actually, the most common complaint to the GRA or to the Garda Complaints Commission is usually guards' abuse of power, abuse of authority. But that's not all guards, obviously. Well, hang on, I want to go to Angela as well. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Yeah, I do apologise to everybody for the bit of a clicking on the line, but we will sort it out in the next 10 minutes anyway. We know what it is or what causes it. Anyway, sorry, Angela, go ahead.
Firstly, I think that if you're under the age of 17 and you're committing some kind of crime, I'd get them out cleaning the streets, get them out scrubbing the walls, get them out cleaning
the
houses.
Well, that's what I said earlier on, community service, yeah.
Community service. And, like, definitely agree the guards need more pay. They're nearly the lowest paid in the country when it comes to, you know, civil servants. But the thing is, they're doing the hardest job.
Well, that's obviously in the first years. Obviously, you know, it's like whatever, 29,000, 30,000.
That's when you need to pay them.
I know, but I mean, if you're a guard and you've joined the guards and you're probably 24 or 25 years of age and you join the guards and you're getting 29 grand and you're stationed in Blanchardstown or you're stationed in, I don't know, Hoth or whatever it happens to be. So where are you going to live? And 30 grand? In a shed?
And the other thing is, I would bring back the height restriction. I'm 5'1". I just could have a sugar if I wanted to discriminate against.
Look, everybody agrees with that, Angela. But if you bring in the height restrictions, you think it's bad right now that we only have 12.5 or 13,000 guards, you will have less than that if you bring in the height restrictions.
But hold on a second. You have to let me finish with this. I will bring in the height restrictions. I would get rid of that you had to have your maths, English and Irish in the leaving cert.
No, the Irish is gone. You don't have to have Irish anymore.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you shouldn't have had to have done your leaving cert or equivalent to be a guard.
Why? You have to have some level of intelligence.
But you're just because
Niall, you've got to make a distinction between education and intelligence.
Okay, no, you're right, Martin. You're right. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay. So, in other words, have an entrance exam for the guards, and once they pass the entrance exam itself, in other words, to show they have a level of intelligence.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
And the thing is, it shouldn't be a maths exam. It shouldn't be that. It should be a knowledgeable exam. You know, what you would do. Like with the prison officers, what would you do in this scenario? What would you do in that scenario? You know, and if you sit down and you interview somebody for the job and go, I think they would actually be brilliant at this job, but they don't have their leaving cert, they don't have this, they don't have that. Who cares? If they're good at the job, that's what they should be, it should be based on. And also, as I said, the biggest thing is pay. We need to start paying them and have a Laura, give them 40 grand to come into it. Give a start off of 40 grand. What is wrong with that? An extra 250 a week? Aren't they worth that for putting their job, for putting their lives on the line? Because every guard does that. I don't care if they're in a little village in the back arth hole of the Aran Islands. They still don't know when they go out what is going to happen to them that day. It might not happen for 10 years, but at some stage in their life, they are going to get assaulted. They are going to get abused. And we need to start putting the fear back into everyone of the guards. There's no fear there anymore. No, there's no fear of authority.
You shouldn't fear the guards.
Well, no, Martin, I disagree with you. Martin, when I was young, we had fear.
Hold on, Niall. Respectfully, I'd say people should never be in fear of the guards. They should respect them. They should understand that they have authority. But the idea of saying that a person should fear the guards, that's outrageous.
Did you have a fear of your father?
Martin.
Did you have a fear of what your father would do when he came home if you'd done something wrong in your mother?
I'll tell you something about my father. My father never raised a hand to any of us.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking, did you have a fear of his authority? That if you did something wrong in your mother and your mother would say to you, wait, your dad gets home.
I had a respect for his authority. Did I fear it? No, because I didn't have...
Martin,
hang on, if I could say...
Martin,
Angela.
You had a healthy fear of your father.
I never feared my father in my life.
My father never raised...
You're talking about your father, but I'm talking about mine.
Okay. Let's not get hung up on it, okay? Okay, the point, you don't think so, Martin, but I do agree with Angela.
No,
I do agree that these young fellas and young ones who are in these areas where there will be high rates of crimes and antisocial behaviour have to have some level of fear of the authority of the guards, that if they see the guards, they won't commit crimes.
No, what they have to have is they have to have a fear of the consequences of what they're going to do.
And they know the guards will enforce those consequences.
Okay, so if I could say, Noel, we're probably talking across purposes, because I would never like to think that a person has a fear of the guards when they simply, you know, they're driving out and they're pulled up and they're not doing anything and they think that they have to be afraid of the guards. My wife was like that. She'd get into a panic if she came across a roadblock because she was so terrified of them. That's a horrible situation. You never want the citizens of this country to be afraid of the guards. They should have a healthy fear and respect of their authority.
So just very quickly, Angela, we have to go to break.
On a personal basis.
Go on, Angela, very quickly.
I would arm every guard.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Well, I wouldn't arm every one of them. Not without training. That'll take years.
Yeah, sorry, Sean. Very quickly, I have to go to break. Go on, Sean.
Yeah. No, sorry. Go on. Go for the break, Mike. Go.
I know. Well, I'm not going to come back to this topic after the break, so say what you want to say, Sean. Go on.
Okay. Well, I will say this. What Angela said there, but the fact of the matter is, Noel, and what Martin said is, you know, we had respect for our parents, you see. And the respect was, Noel, back then. You know, obviously, we'd get into a lot of trouble if we even dreamt about bringing the guards to the door. And my mother and father always said it. And they said it to all of us. Ever bring the guards to the door to be fucking murdered, you know. And they did, you know. And we didn't, Noel, because it was out of respect of our mother and father, and the respect of the house now. You know, they didn't bring the guards to the door. Why did the fuck they be? Because we knew quite well that the mad loser, the dad loser. You know, I remember the brother there, Jesus, you know, he was accused of shoplifting, and he got into a bit of trouble there. It was years and years and years ago now, and there was murder in the house. You know, he got a class.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the same. Like, if I had brought the guards to the house, which thankfully I never did, nor did my brother, there would have been murder in the house. Listen, lads and ladies, I have to leave it at that. Sorry, Martin, Angela and Sean. After the break, by the way, I'm going to be talking about a very unique Irish phenomenon and our fascination with death, because the government has suggested, well, certainly the Social Democrats, Jennifer Whitmore, has suggested the government should create its own debt notice website, because, as you all know, RIP.ie has been bought out by the Irish Times. And I don't know what our obsession with death is. Why do you think Irish people have this quirky cultural quirk? Or does it reveal something deeper about how we view life, community and legacy, I suppose? And what does your fascination with death say about us as a nation? What does our fascination say of death say about us as a nation? We are fascinated with death, aren't we? We kind of have this obsession. All our mothers and fathers used to turn around and say things like, "You never guess who died today." You go, "I don't know. Mary down the road, Mary O'Brien." You go, "Really? But she was 83, ma." And you go, "Yeah. I was only talking to her today. She was grand." Well, she's hardly going to warn you she's going to die. Anyway, the point is there's an obsession. Everybody's mother had it. Usually women have this obsession, by the way, more so than men. So let me, sorry, AJ, I know you're nodding your head there. It is primarily women have this obsession with death, looking at the death notices. What is the reason that we think we have an obsession with death? And if you, and by the way, let's make this reasonably lighthearted. I know we're talking about death, but what is our obsession with death? We want to know the quirky things about Irish people and death and funerals and everything else.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.